Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Casper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Casper.
And Murray.
Casper.
And Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday.
And Murray.
Casper!
And Murray.
Casper! And Murray. Casper! Casper Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. I think Chris had to just go run to the can. It's like, oh, I just don't know if he just stormed off in protest. I wasn't giving the callers enough time. Freak me out just a little bit here because I am in full facilitation mode today. It's like, oh, I'm going to have to carry this myself for the final hour. I'd really rather not. But Chris has just returned. Thank Christ. Well, if you want to join us, 617-779-0985. As I just mentioned in the headlines there, more positive tests in regard to this Pittsburgh Steelers Baltimore Ravens game, which has now been pushed from it was originally supposed to be on Thursday night. We didn't get that. So you had those two craptacular games earlier in the day with Detroit getting blown up by Houston and the Washington football team. Nice uniforms, by the way, blowing out Dallas, but nothing at night. Then it was supposed to be tomorrow afternoon. That's not happening. Now it's supposedly happening on Tuesday. But who the hell even knows, because there's more positive tests now for Pittsburgh. One coach, one player testing positive for COVID-19 with multiple contacts in Pittsburgh. So probably means more will be coming down the pipeline here within the next few hours, which sucks. And it feels like the NFL has a real problem on their hands, Chris. And with the numbers spiking nationwide, shouldn't be that big of a surprise, but does feel like, once again, that the NFL is teetering. We had this feeling when it came to the Patriots and Chiefs game going back a month and a half, and then everything that went on with the Tennessee Titans. As these numbers spike, NFL has more problems. There's only so much shifting you can do with these games. And also reading from our pal Bert Breer here of the MMQB, he tweets 20 minutes ago, it appears The Rock may meet a hard place here if the NFL has to move this one, meaning Steelers-Ravens.
Yeah.
It'll either have to be to the yet-to-exist Week 18 or off the schedule altogether, which could trigger the 16-game playoff, which I know that you would want.
Yeah,
for
the path, baby. We're back in it. We're back in it.
The path.
We're back in it. I mean, you know, look, this is not the way you obviously want to make the playoffs because rising COVID rates across the country aren't good. Rising COVID cases in our sports aren't good. We've seen that. You know, I'm a Florida State fan. This is 2 weeks in a row that my team's not playing. It's really decimated the college football schedule. And I want to say it also has decimated the viewing experience. And I'll be honest with you, Jim, I'm not sure the NFL is going to make it. I don't know if they're going to be able to finish the season. And if they do, it's going to be by putting pandemic blinders on and just plowing through, which they pretty much have been doing already.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they're going to make it. I really don't, because this is getting bad. And you know, I said to you off the air, I'm a huge college basketball fan. I'm really excited to see college basketball come back. I've enjoyed watching these games, but it's kind of like LOL college basketball. Like, you're starting at the worst possible time. I don't see how you're going to complete your season.
Yeah, this, and I've been, you know, the ignorant American on this, with especially with the NFL, which I've wanted back, even though it's been mostly ugly to watch the two teams I'm following this year with the Patriots and the Bucks. But it's good to have it back. It's a nice respite on the weekends. And I too have had the blinders on and just plow through. But if you have to start playing like real shell games like they're doing with this Steelers-Ravens game with more teams here in the next few weeks, like, yeah, I mean, it could be on the table that they're going to have to shut this thing down maybe for a little while, or they will have to go to the 16-team playoff. Like, something is going to have to give here.
And I'm just, you know, as I think about it, I mean, this just popped in my head, but again, if COVID rates are rising and you're having problems scheduling games, is the answer to have more teams in the playoffs and try and play more games?
No, probably not. And I know I don't want that anyway because the path is closed. I don't want the Patriots getting in by default.
Shame the two on, sweetest words in the English language.
Shame on you Homer if that's Simpson. What you're rooting for. No, that's just stupid. Like, I don't want that. I don't want them expanding the playoffs just because, like, you know, that they've had to because of the pandemic. No, like, I would hate the thought of that.
But outside of the you hating the thought of it, I'm just saying from a public health standpoint.
Oh, no, you're asking these guys to be around each other, too, and to put them in closed.
So now there's more teams. It's kind of like the NBA bubble when it was like, oh, how can we have this bubble, you know, without the Washington Wizards? And it's like, no, what? These teams shouldn't be, like, eliminate these teams. There's no reason for them to go.
Exactly. Just from a health standpoint, the less teams, the better.
Yes.
Just period.
That's exactly. All. Yes, that's my point. If anything, it should trigger, they should be like, oh, this triggers us reverting back to a 12-team playoff.
That's what should happen.
Yeah.
So there you go. More positive tests. Now that Ravens game supposedly happening Tuesday, what, at 5 o'clock? Is that what they're saying this thing is going to kick off?
I don't know. I don't know. I can double check it, actually, because the league sent me that release. But, I mean, I'm not even really paying attention because I don't think they're playing on Tuesday. I don't think they're going to be able to play this game. I just don't. And now you're really messing. I mean, you're already moving a bunch of things around because the Ravens were supposed to play the Thursday night game against the Cowboys. And obviously that's not happening now. So let's see. This game was moved to Tuesday at 8 o'clock.
Tuesday, 8 o'clock.
Broadcast on NBC. They're basically trying to, you know, replace the game that NBC lost on Thanksgiving, which was the only game I really wanted to watch.
And did you read how this thing apparently, you know, spread through Baltimore? Their strength, they had this one hammerhead strength and conditioning coach who didn't wear the mask, wasn't wearing the contact tracer, was just like one of these people. And so if that's the case, and so I know the Ravens put out a statement on social media saying that they had disciplined this person. I forget what the hell his name is, and who cares? It's a strength and conditioning coach there. So maybe that means he's been fired, or they fined him, or whatever. But if it spread due to true irresponsibility by one party within the team, and if they have to continue to try to play a shell game with this, well, then you're forfeiting the game. Go F yourselves. Like, that's what should happen. Oh, I'm serious. No, like, enough of this. You know, we have to move on. We can't lose the business. We have to play these games. We want to get this in. If you were being irresponsible about it and that's how this thing spread, screw. You're taking the L. You're not even playing the game. And I think that's what should happen. That should totally be on the table. I felt the same way about the Patriots at the time when they were whining about it having to go to Kansas City.
So here's the problem. Here's the problem with that, I think, that my understanding of the CBA is that if you do that, if there's a forfeit, the players don't get paid. And so now are you going to blame the players for this, as you put so eloquently, this hammerhead strength and conditioning coach? So now they have to pay the price for this guy who actually, when you break it down, is a club employee. He's an employee of the club. Okay. You know, the players have no control over him. So that's on the organization. So now they're not going to get paid. That's going to be a tough sell.
Oh, yeah, no, that probably wouldn't happen. You would think that the right thing to do there, if that were to ever come to fruition, is that, you know, the team pays the fine, but then that, who's the owner there?
Steve Bisciotti.
Bisciotti. Yeah, you just make sure the players get paid. That's all.
But will definitely do that.
That would never happen.
Not in a million years.
All right, Dan in the car wants to talk about Tom Brady. Hello, Dan.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good, right. Dan. What's up?
Not much. Listen, a little ball washing here real quick. Gasper, your vernacular and the way you articulate your thoughts are amazing.
Oh, wow.
And Murray, two negatives equals a positive. That's true in math, and it's true in between you and I, even though we don't know each other, because your negativity with my negativity makes me look forward to your next show.
Yeah, see, this is why you have to let the callers go on.
What'd you have
on
Tom Brady?
I appreciate it. So basically, my comparison is this. So Brady and Breeze, Rivers, yep, are the two oldest quarterbacks in playing right now that switch teams, correct?
Yes.
If Rivers his stats currently, they have the same quarterback rating, but if his stats currently were in Tampa Bay, how much worse do you think that would have been, you know, to the coaching staff, the you know, versus what Brady has done? Because, you know, Brady right now has thrown more touchdowns than he did last year for us.
True.
And I'm just trying to make sense. Is this just the, you know, national media just trying to focus on, you know, how can we basically turn the GOAT into, you know, the scapegoat, you know, or make him look negative versus, you know, what he's done. I mean, he has a better record than the Pats. He's doing better. I mean, basically him and Breeze are, you know, first and second in their own division. In Rivers. I just don't understand if with no time to, you know, because of COVID to kind of get, you know, do the preseason stuff and everything else. Who would you say is playing better when, you know, just based on the fact that you have these two quarterbacks that at their age, both switched teams, switched offenses and everything?
I mean, I would say Brady. I think he's carrying a much heavier load. The Colts lead the NFL in what they call miscellaneous touchdowns, you know, touchdowns that don't come on offense. So they have, like, you know, touchdowns off block kicks and interceptions and stuff like that. So I think Rivers is sort of a game manager where, you know, Brady is a gunslinger down there, and that's what that offense is set up for. And when you're a gunslinger, you're going to misfire from time to time. Brady's misfires, to your point, Jim, though, have been on national television.
Yeah, and that's where he's had his worst games. And look, do I think that the national media has their fangs out for Tom Brady? They definitely do. And I'm sure there's people that are cackling at this because it finally feels like, oh, he's fallen off the cliff when you see him play the way that he played against the Rams.
He's not good.
But I am convinced, though, given that offensive line they have in Indianapolis, the defense is excellent. Wasn't so much in that first half against Green Bay last week, but and it is. So, you know, just statistically, I think it's the number one defense in the league. I like Frank Reich as a coach. If Brady was there, he'd be having a really great season.
I do. Do you think they have the weapons, though? I mean, Rivers is kind of a game manager there. Like, it's, you know,
but that's him at this point. I think his arm is completely shot. He's got a bad foot. He's always been too risky with the football anyway. I think Brady would be having a better season there. I really do.
Interesting.
Yeah. But overall, like, I don't know. I think most of the barbs that have been sent Brady's way this year when he's looked bad like he did against L.A., like, they're deserved. Some of it's a bit over the top, but given what they have down there in terms of talent, he's underachieved. He has. Like, I don't know, the expectations going into the season were super high.
That's true.
The way that they played against Green Bay and then following the game that they had in Vegas, it's like, oh, okay, well, this team's real. They're going to win the Super Bowl. And since then, it's just been, it's been trending.
So I guess here's the thing on the underachieving. Like, so what were the expectations? Because, you know,
at least for, I thought he was going to be in the MVP conversation throughout the year. I really did.
Okay, and he's not in that conversation. He's not going to win an MVP. But I said I thought that Tampa would go 10-6. So for me, they're sort of right on target in terms of expectations. Did I think Brady would put up maybe better numbers in terms of completion percentage? Yes. Fewer interceptions? Yes. But I still thought, and I still think, the biggest challenge for him over there is changing that culture. And that still is something that, to me, is a work in progress. Now, here's where I criticize Tom Brady. If that's your biggest challenge, then I think that you need to be aware of that. And I think you also need to be self-aware and not bring in your buddy Antonio Brown into the mix. That, honestly, to me, seems selfish. You're bringing him in because you like playing with him, because you think he can make your job easier, even though he's not necessarily going to make the team better. Which, you know, people might look at that and say that's contradictory, but it's really not. You know, Antonio Brown can make his job easier potentially, but he's going to mess up the flow of the team. You know, I'll use a technical term. Antonio Brown is bad juju. Like, that's just what it is. That's just what it is at this point in his career. And also, in fairness to Antonio Brown, he hasn't played in a year. Yeah. I don't care who you are or how good you are. If you haven't played in a year, you're not going to jump right back in and be, you know, the AB of old. And he hasn't been. And it's kind of like when Gordon Hayward came back from that ankle injury and Brad Stevens kept throwing him out there, and there's Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown being like, why is this guy out here? He's not earning these minutes. You told us everything has to be earned. Well, it's like Brady who had all these off-season workouts with guys like Scotty Miller, and poor Cameron Brate got COVID working out with Brady and some field, some high school field in Tampa, and then Antonio Brown sashays in and gets 13 targets. It's like, Tom, you told me there was a certain way to do this, the right way to do this, and now this guy just gets to come in and play and play all these snaps, and you're looking for him? Why should I believe anything you say?
I just know that I got to figure out who the hell I'm going to root for to get to the Super Bowl. Like, because it ain't going to be the Bucs. It's certainly not going to be the Patriots. The path is closed. It has been since Denver.
COVID has reopened the path.
So who, and but yeah, that's on the table.
COVID rates are rising along with the Patriots playoff chances.
Do people want that? Do you want them getting in by default? Like, oh, so the Ravens-Steelers game, say it gets canceled, and they have to, like, give the automatic L to, you know, Ravens or whatever, and now they have to expand. Do you want them getting in by default?
Yeah, it would make sense.
I can understand if you do just to spite me. But you people at the path, like, go get help. That's what I want to say at this point. Those of you tweeting at me, Gasper, others, like, just do. I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing. You're just trying to get under my skin.
You know what it would be
and
like?
For the most part, it's kind of working, because it just, but my message to you people, Chris, and you people, you path people at this point, because it's over, go talk to someone. You can get Zoom meetings now.
Pathologists?
Yes.
That's what I want us to be called. Pathologists?
No, talk to a shrink because you need help. It's over. It's okay to be pessimistic sometime and just realize what the hell's going on in the world and it stinks. So that's all. That's what you need. Go talk to someone. They'll help you deal with those feelings. No, I'm going to be pie in the sky. Everything's still good. It's not. It all stinks. All right. With that, we'll come back with more of your calls. You want to join us, 617-779-0985. It's Gasper Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray. On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
And Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Oh, yes, listen to that finger tapping on the fretboard.
I don't know what this is or who it is, but I definitely don't like it. Outside of the finger tapping, I like any ode to Eddie Van Halen, but I don't know who this band is and what this song is, but I can just tell I don't like it. Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports. I don't like up rock, like for the most part. Like, Van Halen is about the only happy rock I can
really
deal with and really like. But whatever that was, it sounded like All-American Rejects or ugh.
Well, you got me into the yacht rock thing, and I have to say during
Yacht rock's good too, but that's relaxing.
Yeah, like that 70s. During the pandemic, man, I've kind of gone down the yacht rock rabbit hole, and I find it to be soothing. You know, some people, I've gotten a lot of feedback on this. I know some of you find it soothing to put up the Christmas decorations.
Yep. I wanted to ask you about that. Did you hear Zoe go in on you?
I did not. I heard somebody said he was going to put me on top of his tree or something like that.
Yeah, I had someone alerted me to this a day later that they replayed me asking you about putting up the Christmas lights early as part of 5 questions on Zolak and Bertrand earlier in the week. And it really legitimately pissed Zoe off. Like, how dare you? I'm going to take him and put him up like an elf on my tree. People need to feel that fake
joy.
Right,
yeah, they really need it, especially this year. Yeah, all is well.
Brian and Quincy, you're next here on Gasper Murray. Hello, Brian.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good. What's up?
Good.
Hey, very good. Hey, I just wanted to remind everybody, I'm a former boxing promoter for Rich Capiello out of Brockton, and we have the Mike Tyson pay-per-view fight tonight, $50. If anybody's remotely interested, it's an 8-round, exhibition, basically, between him and Roy Jones Jr.
Are they wearing the bigger gloves?
I'd probably, you know. But, Mike Tyson, I'll headline that's for comedy that I do. Anyways, he beat Mike Tyson.
I'm going to let you go on that if you want to try to promote it. Maybe be a little bit more informed about it, sir. But, yes, Mike Tyson at 54 years old, taking on Roy Jones Jr. tonight at 51. Tyson has not fought competitively since 2005. Jones hasn't had a fight since 2018.
Wow, I don't know how I feel. I mean, honestly, I haven't seen Roy Jones Jr. since I watched, the last Matrix movie.
Well, I'll tell you, I watched the weigh-in.
Yeah.
They're both in phenomenal shape. Tyson at 54, and especially if you saw if you paid attention to what Mike Tyson was in the last 15 years, or just, if you watched the first Hangover, when he's doing the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, they try to get the tiger back to him. Like, he's way out of shape. He's fat. He's bloated. He's had drug issues for most of his life, and he will admit that. He'll be the first to tell you that he's gotten into the shape that he got into for this fight at 54 is phenomenal. Like, that in of itself, I applaud him for. But them doing this fight, come on, guys. Do you need the money that bad? I don't even know if they're promoting or if it's for charity. I can't speak to that. But they're getting in the ring and doing this in the first place at that age. I'm usually not the finger-wagging Nana, but I'll be the finger-wagging Nana on this, Chris. It's kind of gross.
I'm not into it. Like I said, seriously, I mean, I was joking, but I kind of wasn't. I haven't seen Roy Jones Jr. since those Matrix movies. I'm good.
And so for what Tyson, and so because I'm of a certain age, too, that I remember some of those fights, Tyson Spinks.
Late 80s, Mike Tyson was, he's up there with Jordan.
Yeah. Oh, he was. He was that kind of, that kind of athlete that should be talked about on that level. Jordan, Gretzky, Mario Lemieux.
Totally. He was like the Terminator. It was like. You want to talk about an athlete, like a Babe. It was like, this guy never loses. He will never lose.
And on that, I just wanted to say this, too, because we had another passing this week, and I wanted to recommend this documentary again because people are looking for things to watch. Because on that level of Jordan, LeBron, Tyson in his prime, Gretzky, Mantle, Diego Maradona, and I'm no real big soccer fan, but I remember as a kid hearing that name time and again when he was playing for Argentina. They had the hand of God. Goal in the World Cup that beat England, England, in 1986. The self-titled documentary, I think you can find it on HBO still, Diego Maradona, came out last year. It was produced by the guy who made the Ayrton Senna documentary.
Yeah, again, which is really good.
Oh, it's amazing. And I'm like I care about F1 racing, but great sports documentary there. He also did the Amy Winehouse documentary, which is a terrible story, but that was really well done. He did this one, the Diego Maradona, that's what it's called. Can't recommend it enough. This guy at his height was that type of athlete. He was that kind of phenom, must watch, just like playing on a high, like a completely different level. And the cool thing about the movie too, Chris, is if you haven't seen it, it's like you realize that he almost had a split personality. There was Diego, which was, grew up poor, just was a, loved his mom, just wanted to play soccer, didn't really care if he got paid for it. And then there was Maradona, who was just this crazed coke fiend egomaniac, played for this Italian team that was owned by the mob and reveled in it. And it's just this dichotomy of this split life that he lived.
Interesting.
And when he became Maradona, 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 he became such this phenom, and he bought into it that he wrestled with it for the rest of his life. And he passed away of a heart attack. I think it was at 60. He was just a couple of days ago. But that documentary, if you're looking for something good to watch, even if you don't care about soccer, can't recommend it enough. One of the great sports documentaries I've ever watched. With that, you want to join the show? We got a couple of segments to go, including 5 questions for Chris Gasper. We got nothing to do with sports. We will get to more of your calls at 617-779-0985. It's Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 the Sports Hub.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose, Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline, ma.org, or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
Listening to Jasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Your calls we go. Ken in Newton wants to talk about Danny Ainge. Go ahead, Ken.
You guys have the chemistry of a buddy cop movie.
Oh, thanks.
Wow, that's thank you. I appreciate that.
I would be the slovenly dog that would be bothersome.
No,
to
you wouldn't. You'd be like
straight-laced cop.
So I just saw Die Hard on Thanksgiving again. You know, obviously, you know, holiday movie Die Hard. It's like, you know, I'm the cop outside, the guy from Family Guy, you know, the straight man, and you have all the one-liners, Jim. Yeah. You're Bruce Willis.
Very good.
Taking down terrorists and ripping butts and, you know, coming out with one-liners.
Well, go ahead, caller.
All right. Well, my problem with Ainge is he's trying to win every trade. If he would have just did the right thing for Hayward on this one, he would have won that trade because it would have changed some of the perception of the league on him.
Yeah, I agree. And I agree with you. Not just the perception. I mean, if you could have gotten the first round pick or you just get something like, again, I'm not saying Doug McDermott is this amazing piece. And my understanding, it was Doug McDermott or Aaron Holiday. You know, those were the guys they were talking about at the end. And nobody has said Jeremy Lamb, but again, you know, reading the tea leaves, I think that if the Celtics had asked for Jeremy Lamb, and that, I don't think that would have been a deal breaker for the Pacers. So you get any of those guys, you know, they're useful pieces. They're not Gordon Hayward, obviously, but Gordon Hayward doesn't want to play for you. And Gordon Hayward was in control. Gordon Hayward had the opt out, and he ends up opting out and going to Charlotte. And that's what you have to remember here. So it was a situation where you were naturally, Jim, at a disadvantage. You were never going to get full value, but if you could get 70 cents on the dollar, that's better than zero.
Yeah, and I just don't get that people want to, there's still people that want to fight this and say, no, it was in the alleged deal with the Pacers. Like, again, no, you said it last week.
Yep.
This thing was real.
It was real. 100%.
It was real, and it just came down to this, like, you know, when Gordon Hayward and his agent were talking about places like Atlanta, there he might, that was never real. But Charlotte obviously was, and Ainge should have seen some other team coming in here. And that he always consistently, for whatever reason, feels like he's got to win the deal. You said earlier, it's like, well, you're not always going to get a dollar back for a dollar. It's like Ainge tries to get 10.
Oh, 100. Yeah, he wants $1.50 for a dollar.
That's insane. Like, it's not, and now I'm sure there's GMs throughout the league that are tired of being fleeced by this guy over the last decade plus. And it's like, no. Like, sometimes you got to just take a little. And you should have got something in return for Gordon Hayward and done him the solid of sending him to Indiana where he really wanted to go, because now you end up with nothing. And I think you also have the potential taint on the franchise of being a place that doesn't want to really help out players in a players' league.
You know? No, I think you're right about that. And whether that's true or not, again, perception becomes reality, and the NBA is a big perception league. And I think there's enough smoke around the Celtics, fair or unfair, with some of their dealings with players, that maybe there's a feeling that Ainge has a little bit harder heart than some other GMs, and that if you're going to go play for the Celtics, you have to keep that in mind. And that might not be appealing to everybody in the NBA. So you're absolutely right about that. I just think, look, sometimes you have to be pragmatic And I think the pragmatic thing to do here was to do that deal. And I'd also say the Celtics have done, and Brad Stevens has done such a great job of bringing in players that people don't really think that much of and getting a lot out of them and boosting their value. So all these people saying, oh, Miles Turner, nobody wants him. Miles Turner's 23 years old. He plays for Brad and Brad's system. I think he gets better, and you can sort of polish him and then flip him. You know what I mean? Like, that's what you do. That's what you're good at. That's what you did with Jay Crowder to a degree. You know, that's what you were able to do to a degree with Isaiah Thomas.
And Evan Turner, didn't he get $17 million per from Portland?
Yeah, he got so much money. So it's like they're really good at taking guys and getting the most out of them and making them look like, I mean, honestly, that's what you're doing with Marcus Smart. Like,
right.
You're making him look like a more valuable piece than he really is. So this idea that, like, oh, no one wants Turner, and if you'd taken him, you wouldn't have been able to do anything with him down the line. I just think that's wrong. The guy's 23 years old.
Let's go to Rob in Leominster on the Celtics. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for letting me know. Couple of things with this. I don't agree with you at all that Danny messed up this Hayward issue. He absolutely should have taken the deal instead of fighting it. I think he probably saw what happened and then took a step back and said, I really need to get something done with this. Backup plan was, you know, Thompson and Teague. And I don't actually hate the backup plan. But I think this team really needed the rebounding more than anything else. Shooting wasn't really an issue, but we got killed on the boards in the playoffs. I don't hate the backup plan. What do you guys think, really?
So, B-Rob, I want to ask you this because, you know, again, these CBA machinations are like so – I mean, they give me a popsicle headache. But if they had done the deal – like, I'm looking at the two deals that they did with Teague and with Tristan Thompson. Isn't Thompson essentially the non-taxpayer mid-level?
Yep, $9 million. So he got the full mid-level.
And what was Teague? Was he the biannual, or is he just something?
I think he's going to get veterans minimum. That isn't out yet publicly, okay. But my guess is it's just the minimum.
So here's my question. Taking roster spots out of the equation, you know, because Carson Edwards has to have his roster spot, could they have still signed both of these guys if they made the deal?
Thompson... probably not, because you'd have to only get the taxpayer, which essentially is $6 million instead of $9 million. So you wouldn't be able offer him what other teams would. And B, I don't think Thompson comes here if Turner's here, because he's not going to get enough. He doesn't see enough playing time here for him.
That was my question. So both of those make sense. I thought I had read somewhere that even if they did the deal with Hayward, that they still would have had the full, that just by him leaving, like
it would have been tight. They could have made it work. So I think the bigger issue for them might have just been, like, if Turner is here, Thompson's like, well, where am I going to play?
Yeah, and I think, look, that's what we'll come down to. Maybe they are better off with Thompson than Turner. I just don't feel that way. I feel like Turner's a better rim protector. He can shoot the three. He's younger. He can still get better. I take it back. He's 24 years old, not 23, but he's 24. And I think that Brad, like he's done with so many players, can coax more out of him. The other thing I wanted to say just quickly on this to both of you is because I went back and kind of looked at some of this, if I can find it now, with Tristan Thompson. So this guy that Celtics fans are raving about, the last time you faced him, you know, in the playoffs, it's not like he was that great against you. It's not like he averaged like 6 points per game and 6 rebounds in that Eastern Conference Finals series. I mean, it wasn't like he was this unstoppable force in that playoff series. So, I mean, were you asking for that type of player then? Or like, what is the basis here for Tristan Thompson is better than Miles Turner? I guess is essentially my question. I just recalculated the stats again. He averaged 7.4 points per game and 8 rebounds in the playoff series against the Celtics when LeBron James and Jeff Green beat you on your home floor in 2018.
I think if you get 10 and 10 out of him a night, you know, 10 points, 10 rebounds, that's what your baseline expectation should be, maybe even a little high. Like, and please don't try to turn him into a three-point shooter. Have they started to do that these last couple of years in Cleveland? I think the numbers
he shot it last year, right? Yeah. He shot like 39%. What did he shoot, like 23 threes last year or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, 9 of 23, yeah. So don't look at the shot, though. If you look at the highlights, it is not pretty.
Is it worse than Baines? Because Baines wasn't pretty, but he could hit him.
It's borderline.
No. I mean, Baines looked like he was loading up a medieval slingshot for every shot.
It was ugly, but he did hit them, though.
He did. I know. Baines. I would have liked Baines coming back, honestly. I kind of like that guy.
So did I. I'll tell you, as much as I love, and I think most people really do enjoy the NBA offseason, some people, I've seen it, I refer to it as more fun than the actual season.
Yeah.
So as good and entertaining and fun to talk about as the NBA offseason is, when you get into the machinations of the cap,
it just ruins
the whole experience.
It really does.
Don't talk to me about the NBA cap and the money and, oh, well, I have to stretch. Shut up.
But it's great that B-Rob knows that stuff.
Right, no, thankfully.
Because that stuff is so valuable. Like,
I know.
And honestly, for me, it's like calculus. I tried so hard in calculus in high school. And with the salary cap, like, I go to that site that, what's that guy's, Larry Coons?
Yeah, CBA.
CBA. I go to it, and I try and memorize this stuff, and I try and learn it, and it none of it sticks. It never sticks.
It's brutal. And it's like, I've been trying to figure it out for 10 years. I still... not even close. So
you're
like,
pretty good though, B-Rob. Forsberg. There's some people that are really. I don't know if like Mike Zarin, Celtics assistant GM, who's like the master of this, gives you guys tutorials or whatever. But there's some of you guys on that beat that are really good with this, at least relative to me. Where it's like I try and I can't retain any of this information.
My brain just starts. I hear it go like powering down. Like no. Oh, we have to factor in the mid-level exception and into non-bird rights. But then there's early bird exceptions, meaning what? You get to eat at 5 and have a steak that looks like leather. I don't even like. Stop it. Oh God. You can make the deal or you can't. That's all I want to talk about. Jesus. Jake and Andover. Hello. You're next here on Gaspar Murray. Hello.
Hello. Oh, goodness. So I kind of want to go old school, like draconian. Murray, you might be on board with this. I want to get back into tar and feathering the GMs in Boston right now. Oh, my God. Danny Ainge is Don Sweeney mostly. Bill Belichick, he can still skate by. But what is with this just retention of just crap that we can't do anything with? I don't even want to get about Don Sweeney. Just needs to be fired just right off the bat. I am so done with Sweeney. But for Ainge right now, to go off on what you guys are just talking about with the revalue of Miles Turner in the long term, we're getting Tristan Thompson, who might be a little bit better right this moment. Who the heck is going to take Tristan Thompson a year and a half, 2 years from now? What is he going to get any value? Because I still don't think the Celtics, even with Tristan Thompson and Teague, there's no way they're beating the Brooklyn Nets. There's no way they're beating LeBron and the Lakers. They don't have that yet. He doesn't give them that extra boost over that mountaintop to beat those guys. So why are we investing in a 29-year-old center that's not going to give you any revalue for any trade pieces, where Miles Turner could be that one guy, or he could actually become a stud in your own program? It's driving me nuts with these GMs. We need to get the draconian measures back out.
Yeah, I mean, I would tar and feather some of my friends just for bits, if that was still allowed.
What? You would? That's so
just
mean.
For a laugh. I'll post on Instagram. Ha ha, dickhead.
You're sick individual.
No, look, the frustration with Don Sweeney, has he been great at the draft? Not really. I'm more concerned, just as a quick aside on the NHL, maybe we'll get Ty Anderson on next week.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Because do people realize, like, they're talking about trying to start this thing in, like, a month? January 1st they're looking at as a start date for the NHL.
You haven't heard anything about their start date.
Well, you know why? Because they're not talking. The owners and the Players Association, currently, I don't think that they've talked in, like, a week and a half.
Oh, wow.
I was reading behind the ESPN paywall from Greg Wyshynski that there's been owners complaining to Gary Bettman about getting a bad deal in the new CBA. They don't want to hold it up. Some of the owners have said to him they would rather not play this upcoming season if there's no fans because they're going to be operating at a loss. So now there's this talk of potentially a lockout like that all of a sudden.
Yeah, again, another one?
Yeah, when they just signed this CBA that now the owners hate. And then because of the pandemic, did you know that, like, right now how it's going to be aligned is, like, the Canadian teams only play the Canadian teams?
Yes, that I was aware of.
I didn't know about that until, like, a week ago.
Yeah.
And it's like, what are we going to be looking at here? And
but I think that's the Canadian government.
It is. And so because that's why you have the Raptors playing down in Tampa to start the NBA season. But where are they going to play? Because initially there was talk about some of these teams actually playing in their stadiums. One of the guys I know that works at the Garden and has for years said that some of the talk was to have fans only in the
suites.
In the suites. But now there's talk of two cities for bubbles. Like, it just feels like this whole thing, which is supposed to start, again, tentative date January 1st, is all in flux. And there's a slight chance there might not even be a season. And it's...
Oh, that's scary.
It'd be terrible.
You know, that's kind of a double cross based on what you're telling me, and I'm taking your word for it, obviously. the NHL owners, because the idea last time of the NHL players going into the two bubbles they had in Edmonton and Toronto and finishing that season was it was tied to agreeing to a new CBA. It was all sort of universal there. And the idea was, okay, if we can get the CBA done and we feel good about it as players, we'll go into your bubble. So the players lived up to their end of the bargain, which was going into the bubble and finishing the season and making sure that the Stanley Cup was awarded. And now the owners are trying to walk it back. That is disgusting and duplicitous. I hate that.
So this is what the expected alignment would look like. The Bruins would be in the East with the Sabres, Hurricanes, Devils, Islanders, Rangers, Flyers, Capitals. It's just weird to not see the Canadiens involved in that. So, yeah, Canada, Flames, Oilers, Canadiens, Ottawa Senators, Maple Leafs, Canucks, Jets. You don't play any of the teams from America. God, that would be so strange. But something to keep an eye on here is, NHL.
They should go back to the first year they had expansion, when it was like all the expansion teams were in one thing and the original six were in a... So in other words, they should, because no Canadian team has won the cup since the Canadiens in 93. So it should just be like one conference is the Canadian teams and they're guaranteed a spot in the Stanley Cup final.
And with that, let's get to five questions. It's got nothing to do with sports.
I got five questions for Chris Gasper of Channel 5. I got five questions that got nothing.
So we wrap up the show each and every week. As long as we get the time, do it. Five questions for Chris Gasper. Channel 5, got nothing to do with sports. Question number one, Chris, if it was publicly acceptable, even if it kind of wasn't, would you go out in public with a onesie, like a real comfy onesie?
So this was actually like a trend a few years ago in men's fashion, and there were guys like in Chicago kind of doing this, and this became like a brief men's fashion trend.
When it was the shorts and shirt. It was a summertime
trend. Yes, and I remember seeing a guy down the Cape who rocked it, and he rocked it, man. He was good. I think you have to be kind of built to pull that off, so I'm going to say no. I don't have the right... There are certain things I don't have the right build for. Like, I don't really look good in, like, a crew neck waffle shirt because I don't have the right build for that, so I'm going to say no, just based on my...
Yeah, build. I would not with the summer one because I would look like a big, stupid baby with, a baby gut. But, you know, like, a comfy one? I would show up to work with that, like a comfy one with a hoodie that's basically like wearing a big blanket.
I just don't think I don't think I'd look good.
Question number two, if you could write a note to your younger self, what would you say? Like, this won't matter in 5 years. Let whatever go.
Take more chances.
Yeah, that's always a good one.
Take more chances, have more fun. I mean, be responsible, but you have to enjoy yourself while you're young because you won't be young forever. And there's, you can be focused on your goals and trying to get where you want to go. But take some time to smell the roses and, gamble a little bit. Take more chances.
I tell you, there was a time in my early 20s I was going to go to L.A. Didn't really have a plan. I would write that note and say, yes, stupid, go.
Yeah, go. Totally.
Question number three, is there an exercise you really hate to do or even the thought of having to do? Jumping rope, burpees, push-ups.
Yeah, wait, hold on. I'm trying to think because there are a few. Running. I don't like running, even though I ran track in high school. I don't. The idea of having distance running, just thinking about it.
I was obsessed with it for years, much like my dad was around the same time in our early 30s. But I remember my dad telling me at the time, you're basically going to end up hurting 10 years from now.
Yeah.
And boy, was he right. Everything's in pain all the time. Knees, lower back, feet.
I
should have listened to him.
I just pictured, do you ever watch Shameless?
No, I know of the show, but
Lips, a recovering alcoholic, and he really gets into running, and it's this crazy running, and I just picture it like that's what you were doing. He'll just bolt, just like take off and go for these crazy long runs.
I blew off more Friday and Saturday night plans at that point in my life just because I didn't get a run in, and my friends at the time were like, "Are you out of your mind?" Like, yes, no, I gotta run because you're chasing that high, and yeah, it's probably not that healthy, but boy, was I in great shape.
So that's your letter to your younger self: go out on those Friday, Saturday nights instead of going for a run.
I should have went to L.A. Yeah. Question number four. First thing you ever learned to cook?
Oh, God. First thing I ever learned to cook?
Something basic. Toast.
Oh, toast.
Throwing some Chef Boyardee in a pot.
Probably soup. Chicken noodle soup.
That's a pretty easy
Campbell's chicken noodle soup.
Yeah, mine would have been, you're basically just spaghetti and meatballs. Okay. Like, you should be able to do that by the time you're around, 8 or 9 years old. And final question, what is something that you thought would be easy until you tried it? like trying to play a musical instrument. Burpees, something like that.
Oh, that's a tough one. Something I thought would be easy until I tried it. Probably anything related to home upkeep for me would be like, oh yeah, that looks pretty easy, but it's actually, you know, much harder. So like anything related to home, like, you know, installing a fixture, you know, even I would even say that, I'll be honest, I'm like the worst at like hanging photos, like stuff like that.
Oh yeah, me too. But that, for any place I've lived in, sorry for all the holes in your walls.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's,
you gotta like find the stud. Eventually, we'll get there. Buy a stud finder.
I do have a stud finder, but I'm just, it's like it's gonna be crooked. It's not gonna be right. The nail's gonna be too far out, or it's gonna be banged in too much. It's just, it's not gonna look
good.
I'll
tell you, it sounds probably silly to some people, like trying to steer a boat, like taking control of a
really?
Boat. Only for, it's a big vehicle. I'm not good with big vehicles, especially one on the water. That's when I figure it'd be easier than I thought it was, but I am no captain. I'll put it to you.
That's interesting. Yeah. I would have thought, like, I could just see, because I don't know what it is, but just your visage, your image, like you're tall, and I just would feel like you'd be at the wheel and you just look very stately.
Maybe I aesthetically I can pull it off, Chris, but also behind the wheel of the boat.
Yeah.
That's probably not what it's called, but I also the whole time, like, I want to be drinking on the back of the boat. I don't want to be controlling the boat because I have to be sober to control the boat, and to be on a boat, you should be polluted. That's just a rule I have.
Gotcha, man.
With that, Chris, always a pleasure.
Yeah.
Catch him on Channel 5, and also thanks to Brian Rob, BostonSportsJournal.com. Read his Celtic stuff there. Coming up next, it's Ryan Johnson. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Talk to you Monday with Felger and Maz. Bye.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This hour, Gasper and Murray, brought to you by Removal Pro, oil tank removal and installation. If it's big and it's heavy and it's got to go, contact the pros at Removal Pro. Visit oilremovalpro.com. That is oilremovalpro.com.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.